I would like to start off just with a few words. As part of the Shavim Shiurim, I feel that it's important to become familiar with the organization Teiras HaMishpacha. It's an organization which is special in the work that they do. The part that there's different parts to the organization. The part that we could come more familiar with, Be'ez Hashem, shouldn't have to come on to the other chalakim of it, is known as Zareinu, which is a service which is one of its kind. The project is headed by Rav Yitzchak Melber, Rav David Barfeld. They put their leiv v'nefesh into the organization. They make leilos k'yamim. I was just there a few hours this week, just hearing and seeing what's going on. The amount of work just in keeping the organization going for whatever it takes to make it work, and just researching the information and updating the information is a tremendous avoda. But they took it on and they put their full heart into this for the man haklal, purely the Shem Shemayim, to help the klal out. It's a tremendous help for the Rabbanim who are being addressed with these different issues and questions. Just the address that the Rabbanim could turn to, and the address where their kehila could turn to. There's a hotline which is being overused, but as much as possible to help out the klal that's in pain. And as I said, also investing much time to keep the information. I myself have gained a lot from them through asifas that they made for Rabbanim, which I was zeich to be able to join, and also with being able to be a shliach to send people to them, for them to be the shliach, to work with that special siyata d'shmaya. Rabbanim around the world rely on this organization and have expressed their appreciation. Tonight's session consists of question and answers with informative information, which can help us be aware that every situation could be helped, of course, with Siyata D'Shemaya. I'd like to thank Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi David for taking the time out of their busy schedule to join us here in the night kol and the shavim shiurim. Hashem should be mezakeh these rabbanim with the koyach and the health and all that they need in order to continue this tremendous work.
Bobby. We first thanks everyone who sent in emails with all the questions. It's meant to be a question and answer. Whoever has their own questions, feel free to pipe up. I'm just going to say the questions that Chevra sent an email that I went through with Rabbi Wiener. I'll be right, most people are writing the same questions, so those are the questions that we took in. But if anyone has their own questions or Ara, please feel free. The first question that most people sent out was, what is an Eitzah for a lady who has a long period, and she can't make a Hefsek Tayra until late, which causes her to ovulate before she goes to the mikvah?
First of all, place from Chavat Atzania. Really, I want to thank the Morda Asra and the Rabavi and the other young Rabbunim and many others in the area here for giving us this opportunity not only tonight, but rather the whole year, for quite a few years, to be Shlicha Mitzvah, to bring Simcha, to bring Tahara, to help families together with the Rav many times, which obviously the Rav wasn't highlighting. But it involves, I would say, in even the majority of cases, a lot of halucha aspects. And we need Rabbanim to be available, to want to understand the metzias, to be able to help the couples, and to undertake the paskin for them. So the fact that, Baruch Hashem, we have some Rabbanim like Mor Da'asr here, who have mamish devoted themselves, like David HaMelech, to give away the time, whatever couples are, if they need the medicine, if they need the halucha, to go into and to work together to help couples. I think this is the first thing we have to, it's not push it, unfortunately, in many places. It does not exist. And I just saw before some emails came in from different places, not from the area. They have no shaykhus to Rabbanim. They don't even know where to start. Not aloha, not medicine, not support. So I think we need to appreciate that. And thank you for the Rav and for the other Rabbanim in the neighborhood for really giving and helping us together to bring the simcha for the klal. Regarding this question, I would start with a case I had yesterday. It's actually, unfortunately, a case over a year. The first time this couple reached out to us, and was looking a very simple question. She can't get to mikvah on time. Every month there's different things. In fact, in her case, she missed the question of ovulation because she has worked from now 4 kids. It was not the point to get pregnant, but definitely to get tahara. And every month she has difficulties. And as usual, we have to go minakala lakovet. We have to start with the basics. So she started with some basic tests, local doctors, from ultrasound, and even astroscopy, which is the video inside the uterus. Didn't see anything. She has tried before different medications, including different hormones. Wasn't effective too much. So it was like, it took her quite a few months to cover the first basics. In the last week, finally, we had her to a very specific type of test, and to find out that she has actually quite a few polyps, which is different growths, not inside in the full uterus, so they can see it in the regular way of test, but it's actually on the cervix, in a spot which most doctors will miss it. But it's a big one which needs operation and cannot be done in the clinic. So the answer is, of this question, yes, there's always simple cases which can be answered in the Tareinu hotline, which one phone call will be usually in the medication level. Different medications can help definitely to push up to have tahara. I have to, I think, open the evening. I know some of the questions coming up in this, and this is a gedumah, that unfortunately, most doctors, even the Shomer Shabbos doctors, and most even from doctors, are not aware of the stress that tahara can put in a family. The fact that a woman can try to get the mikveh, and she's missing by day 7. And the next week, but again by day 6, she starts to stain, and it makes so much stress, and takes over the whole family, doesn't make them recognize this for the medical issue, because, in fact, by the medical literature, it's not a medical issue. So, yes, she's very desperate, but she comes to the Kupat Cholim doctor, or even any specific doctor, they won't really have any solutions by guidelines. There's no guidelines in this field. If you find a doctor who gives medication, it's based on his experience more than based evidence. So there's no official guidelines what we do in this specific case. We tried in the last 6-7 years to figure out a lot of solutions how to use medications legally. We don't have any gemach. Tareinu hotline doesn't have any clinic. It's just based on the information which is available with doctors, and sometimes we have a hard time. Doctors refuse to give the medications that we advise them to use. Sometimes we pick up a phone to the doctor. Obviously here in Yerushalayim we had made connections with quite a few hundred doctors, and we work together with the hospitals and with the Kopat Cholims. Most of the doctors by now know us. We had different conferences just for doctors. So we have also membership in Mishrad HaBriyot. Here in Yerushalayim it's actually quite easy to get the medication is done, but other places in the world sometimes it is a little bit difficult to find a doctor who's really willing to work. On the Lamaisa level, this question was actually from someone who's trying to achieve pregnancy, because the end of the question was not only how she can get to Hafsik Tahara, but rather how she can not make sure to not miss the ovulation. And this is really important for young couples, especially when there's many times after 2 years after the Chasna, 1 year after whatever the Rav is saying we should start to look into, and they go to a local doctor and they say, okay, it's 2 years, 3 years, whatever the number is, you're not yet pregnant, okay, so we're going to check out the regular way of the guidelines of infertility, when in fact, this is actually a very clear point that she's missing ovulation, and it's not in the solutions of the doctors. So they will start with infertility treatment instead of treating this. So this solution in Israel, there is actually on this guidelines. There's a medication I would say, 2-3 different medications that we can use to push up ovulation. But pushing up ovulation is usually, she's going to have a quicker hepsic tahara, as well, she will be clean for more days, so she's not going to miss the ovulation. So if a woman is irregular, meaning to say that she is having, let's say, a short cycle every 25 or 26 days, which comes boils down to ovulation before mikvah. Maybe I should also highlight that ovulation is usually 14 days before the next cycle. Ovulation means the day which the egg comes out from the ovary. That's obviously the window when a woman can get pregnant. And if a woman has a short cycle every 25 days, then the ovulation will usually be before mikvah. So there is definitely approved here in Israel by the guidelines 2-3 medications to push it up. It's usually the most important, the first 3 to 5 days of the cycle, when they have to reach out to the doctor, they have to have an appointment. These medications, usually they start on day 1, some of them on day 3, some of them day 5. It depends which medications and which the situation is, but it's between day 1 and day 5. So it's in the beginning of the cycle to take care. If it's a regular cycle, day 28 to 36, which is a regular cycle, she's still missing the ovulation because she cannot make hepsic tahara, I think in that case, number one, she has, because many times it's just a matter of the bedikas. A lot of times women have different issues. I had this week a few times. They were sure. Today I had a phone call. Someone said, I was sure I don't know about to go to the Rov. I said, this is a halucha shayla, not a medical shayla. Between a kesem, between a bedika, this is not really not a medical issue. And the Rov should be the one to say yes or not. And in many cases, the Rov will be makel. So definitely in this case, if it's just not to make the hepsic tahara, we have to start with the shayla and halucha. But there is also vitamins and medications that we can stop bleeding. So we can definitely also help, even if it's a regular cycle, and just like bleeding instead of 5 days, it leaves 8 days or 9 days, or staining after the 5 days, there are some medications, not every doctor is happy to give it, but there's definitely some solutions to deal with this. And the vitamin level, I would open this. I know a lot of people don't believe too much in vitamins, but unfortunately there's a big, big market of vitamins that was never researched. So there's over 25 vitamins for this question in any health food store. We tried just one. We have one vitamin that we're using on this one, the bioflavonoid, from different companies, different brands. We have experienced better than others. This is just for a vitamin level, but there's definitely medications that we use a lot also to help people to get ahead of current time.
Do you suggest that anyone who's having different staining problems to take this bioflavonoid?
Right, this vitamin doesn't have any side effects. There's no side effects in our experience, maybe very rarely.
Rishol Belsky, so we sat with Rishol Belsky, he told us that when he was starting off as a Rish Yeshiva, he had a Talmud 50 years ago that had a problem with nosebleeds, and they tried cordyrizing, they tried everything, and it wasn't helping. So he told him to take this bioflavonoid complex and to solve this problem. So anybody has nosebleeds, it's also good. The point is that it's quite effective. We didn't discover America. It's a known fact. The research backs it. And it's very helpful. Again, to say that bioflavonoid complex is the answer to all staining issues is pasha de tos. You know, if you tried it and it didn't work, then don't say, they don't know what they're talking about, then don't call. Call, pick up the phone. And call, because that's just like the first, you know, the very first ATA that you could try. But it's there's a lot of different things that can be done.
Maybe we should also open different. Where David is just saying that we can start with one of bioflavonoid, but in fact, unfortunately, there's so many different situations which can cause this simple issue of hepsic tahara not to be in time. So the other one, just even to have the Shalas Chochem, I think will be also Chotzei Tshuva. I will try to leave place for other questions, but I think to open different things which can actually cause this fact that can't make Hepsic Tahara in time, two big things is, number one, something which is called endometriosis. That's a situation which about 12 people of the population have. It's a medical issue that the lining can grow outside from the uterus. Maybe do you want to go in a little bit about this?
Yes, yeah, 12% of the population, which basically endometriosis is when the lining, as Ramel mentioned, when the lining that is in the uterus, the lining every month, the lining grows inside the rechem, and it prepares for being mekabel the baby, if there's going to be a baby, and if not, at the end of the month, the lining sheds. And that's what a period does. Sometimes this lining, which is basically blood cells, grows and grows, and it can continue and grow outside, in areas outside of the uterus, whether it's in the fallopian tubes, or different areas. And one of the biggest simanim to this phenomenon, to the endometriosis, is terrible pain during the period. And that's a thing. There's women that suffer for years, and they have cramps, and they mamish, they're in terrible pain for 2-3 days. They're not functioning, and nobody ever diagnosed them that they have something called endometriosis, and they suffer terribly. And it's a chaval. It's mamish a chaval. It's not a well-known thing. It's not like now it's becoming a little bit more. Doctors, are acknowledging it more, diagnosing it more. It's very difficult to diagnose. Because you can't see, even if you're looking inside the rechem, we're not looking inside the rechem, we're looking in places outside of the uterus to see where it's going. It's very, very difficult to give a positive diagnosis for endometriosis. But a woman that's in very sharp pain during a period is something that they should call, they should find out more about, because there is what to do about it. And this endometriosis can also cause infertility issues, as well as staining out of the regular cycle, or extending the cycle, because again, the blood is shedding from different places, and it comes trickles in a little bit after. So she had her period, and then she's trying to get tahar, and keeps on staining, and it's something that can be taken care of. You just need to be empowered and know that these issues do exist, and you're not different. And there's many women out there that have it. It's mentioned. It's 12% of the population that have it. And it's a chaval not to find out more, not to pick up the phone and call.
Maybe I should also mention, which is relevant for this topic as well, every other topic in medicine, there's different methods and different approaches and different research for everything. Specifically, this topic is in debate all over the world, not only in Israel. And the same hospital, if you go to the unit of infertility, they will say, oh, you diagnose endometriosis right away, IVF. Don't deal with this. Don't touch it. Don't make operation. Don't try with medication. If you go into the OBGYN department, they'll say, no, don't go to IVF. We will deal with this. There's operations. There's a whole unit for this. Let's treat it. Let's first start medication. If not, we'll do an operation. And then we'll have natural children. And there's obviously, and I think this is really even a hakdama, everything is individual, depends really what degree it is, what level it is, where it is. It seems maybe some of the topics like codes, but everything is a mesechta. Everything is really specialties in medicine today. The doctors specialize for years in this. And there's so many details till someone can really do the right decision. And it's also obviously including a lot of halukha aspects. So this is like one of the typical topics. There's always... depends who you go to. So before you go to the doctor, you actually want to know what the answer is. You have to decide which unit in the same hospital you want to go. So it is definitely kedai to make homework before you go to the doctor and to know what are you looking for. This is for this one. And also, obviously, probably the most, this is only 12%, but the most common issues, bichlal and tahara, is to do with hormones. So people think about hormones, they hear the word hormones, they think about like mood swings, but they think about like something, maybe contraception or something, whatever. But the fact is that every person, man and woman, live in hormones. The way how the Hashem created the body we know today is two tools, how the brain is controlling the body, the nerves and the hormones. And a person without hormones is not, it's actually even the major hormones going down in a tremendous level, it's dangerous. So unbalanced level of hormones for the woman is definitely causing tahara issues. And that's something, a lot of times, not dangerous, not something medically wrong, but definitely if we can balance the hormones, there's absolutely a solution. So one of the most common, some doctors will claim that in our communities is over 25%. It's about what's called PCOS. It's also mentioned, I think, in other questions about the PCOS. PCOS, maybe if you want to explain what it means, what it stands for, it's quite common in every community. And I think the halacha aspect, obviously, to say before Shidduch Hanat, this is a halacha shaila, but I think it's so common that people, and it's dealt usually with medication, just medication, so it is something which we can deal with. But again, it's definitely something which we need to be aware and not to just wait years till they confront actually the infertility issue, rather to take care right after the chasana whenever it's relevant, and PCOS can actually be developed after a couple of years. So if you want to go in and explain a little bit this.
So PCOS stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is basically it's a malfunctioning of the ovaries. Again, the way the body works is that, like Melber mentioned, is there's a constant conversation, so to speak, with the brain and different parts of the body. In this case, the ovaries, which the brain sends a signal down to the ovaries to produce different types of hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and the ovaries produce these hormones. And again, it's a signal from the brain, from the hypothalamus, whatever, it doesn't really matter. But the point is that these ovaries are what are in charge of producing hormones. And a woman with PCOS, for whatever reason, has trouble. Her ovaries are not functioning properly, and she's not producing hormones in a regular way. And because of this, she's not ovulating. She could still get a period. Bederech Kal, one of the biggest simanim of PCOS is a woman that gets a period only every 40 days, 50 days, 60 days, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, and up. That is a simon that is a pretty decent simon that she has PCOS. There are other things. There's acne, different androgen simanim, maybe facial hair, different things that show that her hormones are not working the way that they should be. And it's a makas medina. It's mamish, it's so common. It's one of the most common shilas that come in nowadays on the hotline. It's unbelievable. Doctors are, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, no one heard of it. Doctors, no one heard of it. And now it's mamish becoming a makas medina. Some has to do with lifestyle, lifestyle changes. People are much more sedentary, they're not moving around. They're still doing research on it. But one thing is clear.
Genetic? Sometimes.
Huh?
Genetic?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. But it doesn't, it's a lot to do with a person's lifestyle as well. What's important to know about PCOS, again, research is still being done. There's no official cure for PCOS, like a pill, that this is the pill to cure PCOS. But Baruch Hashem, there are many, many different, tools that we have to be able to overcome the fertility part of it. As well, again, if a woman is not ovulating, then she can't get pregnant. And part of it is you know, if the doctors try to explain it as some sort of diabetes of the ovaries, for lack of better explanation, where ovaries are very sensitive to sugar or whatever, or processed foods, and or overweight, and they're the first ones to stop functioning properly. It doesn't mean that the woman has diabetes, doesn't mean that her family has diabetes, but this somehow affects the ovaries in a major way. And it's good to know, Derech Agav, something to know, that one of the first things that doctors will say is to change the lifestyle, to eat a little healthier, bigger, to do exercise. There's plenty of women that we know personally that they just lose literally 2-3 pounds. And we're not talking about major weight, but just their body starts functioning in a healthier way, and right away the the ovaries kick in and start producing hormones to right, and they get pregnant, you know, two, three cycles, and they get pregnant. And it's Kaseder again like that, you know, they start getting healthier, and right away it kicks in.
These are like 3 or 4 questions, right?
And you know, it's important to know Lagabe PCO. It's important to know that you know, if you have it, if somebody knows, you don't have to wait the 2 years. So sometimes you get a call, you know, we were told not to do anything the first 2 years, and it's really chaval because then they're mamish and alachatz. There's pressure. The family wants to know what's going on. The trigger's calling. And then the thing, and the little sister just got married, and she's already pregnant, and there's a huge lachatz, and then you want to start doing IVF and IUI treatments that are not necessary, because there's such much simpler solutions, but some of them even natural solutions, but that take time. So right away, if somebody realizes that they might be dealing with PCOS, she's getting her cycle, 40 plus days, right away pick up a phone call, see what the different ages are. Because chaval to get into that lachatz later on, when the solutions are much simpler.
Just to also mention again, going back to the question was, when she has a difficulty making a tahara, and sometimes PCO, which is definitely the vast majority, is when they're having a cycle once in more than 36 days, like once in 50, 60 days and higher. But we have definitely, and there's also sometimes the same woman, and sometimes it's different women that have always this pattern. They have actually difficulties to get clean from the first stage, and they're testing out different tests and blood work and everything. They find out it's just PCOS, but it still boils down. They can't do Hefsek Tahara, or if they do, they get a day or two after the mikveh, they get another cycle or a small semicycle. And a lot of times it's in this at least family of PCOS in one way or another, and it's irregular cycles, irregular hormones, the balance of the hormones. And also to highlight that Rav Duva just mentioned the alternative medicine of diets and things, but when I was last year in Baltimore for the ASRM, the biggest medical conference in the world, so the guidelines that they presented in America today, the guidelines officially 215 to deal with PCOS, first line, to tell the patient to push him on diet and to lose. Sometimes they need actually medications to help them go on diet. It's not, again, so simple as it sounds, just to go on diet, but even there's different methods for those people how to help them to lose weight. Definitely exercise and diet, maybe another few small medications, can take away a big, if not most of them, from fertility treatments. So that's definitely to know about the PCOS. Again, it covers a lot of different types of problems in Tahara, but when it's relevant to get pregnant, this is probably the 30% of issues, especially in the Haredi community, when the doctors, this is what we know also from doctors here in the area, in Yerushalayim, and from Kiryat Sefer, by research, it has definitely to do that people getting married, and girls start to cook themselves and to bake cakes for different things. They're starting to eat, and just this 5-10 pounds, a difference, can make it or break it, because if it's in the genetics, and sometimes it is in the family, then it just needs this small difference to bring it out. If it's going down again, and it's something reversible, so she just needs to go down again, and she will be basically managing the PCOS. It's there anyway. And to finish up with the, not everything is so negative, so PCOS women actually have longer children, Baruch Hashem, so they have more than the age of 40, which the average of regular people will have till the age of 40, 42, they usually have their eggs are staying for a little bit longer, so they can go on, can be mushroom a little bit.
Next questions. In a normal case of a young couple, either before they have the first child or even after the first child, how long would the rabbanim suggest that you wait to discuss if you're missing the ovary dates? Would you suggest to them, excuse me, earlier on to get a regular store-bought ovulation test to see, and that both the couple should be aware that they're ovulating during these days and try to be together during those days, like in a very short amount of time, or you're already jumping to PCOS, which tends to be things that are further on. In a regular scenario where you're just not getting pregnant, you're doing everything right, let's say that, but how soon would you suggest they should buy the store-bought and then eventually pick up the phone and call you.
I think this is really a question which we mentioned before, has definitely to do with Ashkofa, Halacha, and medicine, combines every angle. From Halacha Ashkofa, obviously, if the Rebbe wants to answer now, that's definitely a Shaila or in other times, but from the medical point of view, without any Ashkofa, in any medical book, infertility, it's mentioned that there's no point to come to a doctor before a year, because even if everything is totally fine, it still might take a year, a full year. In other words, there's still, without any tahara issues, if even they know for sure they never missed ovulation, they have ovulation, regular cycle, once in 28 days, 30 days, regular relations, everything, still it's only 20% chance each month. That's the statistics. So therefore, before a year, there's no point to come. Yes, we all know that we live in a society of a lot of social pressure, and many people will reach out to Rabbanim, and Rabbanim sometimes will tell him, you know what, and I know for stories that Rav Ozner, Zochanan Rocha, said for his own Talmidim, if she already is asking and she has so much pressure and the younger sister and any, yet sometimes there's a Pesach to do it, but that's usually, anyway, a Shal Taro, because it's not a medical issue. The only thing what we mentioned, the PCO, is basically relevant from the chasana on. I wouldn't say for college before the chasana, but definitely after the chasana, it is not a regular cycle. And a irregular cycle means if it's not in the less than 36 days or it's less than 26 days. Because between 26 and 36, there's still a possibility to get pregnant. Yes, the concept of knowing the 14 days before is the window will maybe help a lot of people to pinpoint the window without even having to go to the gemachim in every building to take the sticks. It's just like simple as that. If it's a regular cycle, every 30 days, that's more or less the window, 14 days before, a day up and day longer. And as in Zman Chazal, it did not change today. By medical research, sperm stays in the body for 3 days, so there's no point to have relations every night. Every second night, even at the 2-3 days of the window is enough. In fact, by medical research, it's better not to have one after the other. It goes away, also takes away from the quality and from the success rate. However, if it's an irregular cycle, as I said, more than 36 days or less than 26 days, then there's definitely things to do. We did not even mention all the solutions, but there's also maybe to mention the WHO, the World Health Organization, is for that case is vitamin. And they don't have any vitamins in the medical book. I think this is one of the only vitamins, the vitamin Vitex, to regulate cycles. Sometimes if it's a light PCO, and that vitamin will be enough, we would obviously always recommend to combine it with a diet, whatever, to make the full shtadlus before reach out even to doctors. But definitely, I think this is the answer. Every college teacher and every chosen teacher should know that when if they teach someone and they see that there is an irregular cycle, they might not tell them right before the chasna, but tell them to be in touch after the chasna, because otherwise they will reach out 2-3 years after the chasna under pressure. Unfortunately, I would say that today, still today, most of them will end up with infertility treatments. They will go under IUI, IVF, whatever it means, and it will include a lot of shalas and halacha, which the rabbonim will be involved, but it will also be a lot of agnes nefesh. Yes, in this country, Baruch Hashem will not include money, financial issues, but it will definitely include a lot of agnes nefesh. So I think this is the answer for your question. We very much promote that people should know right after the chasna, not to wait. If there's an irregular cycle, that's the only situation, basically, and they should try to take care of it, at least in the level of vitamins. And if it's not working, also to add medications, not infertility medications, but medications to make sure there's opportunity to get pregnant.
Someone who's using the copper IUD, and because of that, they have very long periods. What could they do?
Just like asking Kolotor or Regalachas. We actually had a meeting today in the office, someone from Monroe. And they were actually asking the same question. What we do with IUDs, everyone is with IUDs. And this is even cheaper in New York than the pills. I think here it's the opposite. Here it's actually from 600 shekels and higher, where the pills could be 30 shekels. But here it's maybe not so relevant as in a yard, which is definitely, these are covered and the pills, many of them not. So they have it for free. Everyone takes the free one. But it makes definitely, it's as good a buddhik and manissa that IUDs will make problems of tahara. So I think it's important to understand, before we go into the IUDs, the whole concept of contraception. And to start again, that Tareinu hotline, with all the devoted staff, it's not a Beis Haruah hotline. We do not give heterim when to use, for how long to use, and which methods to choose halucha-wise. This is everything what the Rabbunim obviously are doing al pi halucha, for the Mesoiris, whatever every poisik has, and obviously also depending on different situations. But I think, again, it's sugya which includes a lot of medicine. And if you ask a question regarding from the aspect of tahara, the most important, this is the answer to me, what I told them today, that the most important thing is before they put in an IUD, they should actually get the education and information what really is the most suitable for them in their situation. Depending on the age and the stage and the background and the history. And this is basically what big part of what we do in the hotline. And it does not take 5 minutes. And even if myself, I think I definitely answered this question quite a few thousand times in the last 7 years. It still takes me 20 minutes to answer. It's not a one answer, one size fits all. And it really depends on a lot of details. But the most important is maybe to say, and I think this is really what we have to promote, is to consider very strongly not to use the IUDs. If you use the IUDs, the solutions, we have quite a few solutions and medications, but not every doctor will agree to use what we, even in Shalim. But we try to help people if they, for some reason, must use it or they're already on it, they don't want to go off. So the solutions are not easy. It is including medications, and not easy medications that everyone is going to use. So why to go on something which is actually quite difficult to deal? And let me just explain, and I know this is, again, halucha shayla, I think even in the IUD, copper IUD, I'm just going to say Maramokum of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, B'chazanish, whoever learns the sugya of Makkah Berechem knows there's big machlekes and different shittas. So yes, many times the solution will actually be in the halucha aspect to consider to go to the roof and see which type of bleeding. Is it really a cycle? Is it like small bleeding? Is it shaykh to be as of a Makkah from inside the Rechem? As is just to explain for whoever saw the IUD, it's usually in a shape of a T. Maybe Rodovit will go in soon in different types of IUDs, but that's the classic copper IUD, what was the question for. So sometimes there will be definitely a big mokum that the halucha should be the solution or at least the address for this. But if not, and this is really what I want to highlight, most difficult issues with the IUD copper is not in the first 3 months, as a lot of people will say, you know, I'll skip the first 2 months, but afterwards will be okay. Actually, the biggest challenge in tahara and the copper IUDs is when it's in the monthly basis. Usually it's going to be there for a year, sometimes a year and a half or longer, and every cycle will be much heavier. Instead of 5 days, it might end up 8 days of heavy bleeding, and it's affecting tahara and it's affecting other issues, and it's something quite difficult to deal with. It's not a stain or a makkah that Rabbuna will be makel. It's actually continuing the heavy cycle. And this is something which we have to be aware of before you start with this IUD, the copper IUD. I think Rav Dovid should mention, at least if someone was advised to use an IUD by doctors, by Rabbonim, to know of the different IUDs. For Hashem in Israel, there's actually quite a few different IUDs today, even in the copper level. I know it's the other ones. Maybe just open at least a few minutes.
It's that important to know if you're suggested to use an IUD, that there's a whole, it's a whole parsha, it's a whole sugya. There are different types, like Mel mentioned. The regular copper IUD is the copper T IUD, which is basically the shape of a T. In the copper, sometimes what can happen is that little T, the hands of the T are rubbing against the rechem, and for a woman who has a sensitive rechem, that could cause a lot of staining, a lot of problems. And sometimes the solution would be to really go for a different type of an IUD, something that they have here. It's not available in the U.S. In Canada, it's actually available, not in the U.S. It's available here. It's called the Gynafix. And basically, What it is there's no tea, it's just the copper piece, and it's hanging. They actually take a string, and their teichev, the string has a knot in it, and their teichev the knot into the, they push the knot into the roof of the rechem, of the uterus, and it just kind of hangs inside the uterus. And like this, there's no sharp edges, there's nothing that's poking the uterus, and many women find that this helps a lot with tahara. It's definitely an option that's out there. It's more expensive. It's very important if you do this that you go to somebody who's nusa, who knows what they're doing, because it's not an easy incision. They push too hard, they could puncture the entire the wall, the fundus of the uterus. And obviously, if it's not pushed in enough, then it'll just fall out. As well, there's another in the copper, in the area of copper IUDs, there's something new that's very recent that's available in here in Israel and some European countries. Something called an IUB, where IUD stands for intrauterine device, IUB stands for intrauterine ball. So they came up with an IA patent. It's actually pretty good. These little balls of copper, and they're looped around a plastic string. And the plastic string is they basically heat it at a very high temperature, and it takes automatically, if you let go, it'll take the shape of a ball. So you could stretch it. It's a string. It's a piece of plastic, thin piece of plastic. So they're able to insert it as a very thin string. And as soon as they release it inside the rechem, it quickly forms back into a ball. And the mile is that there's no sharp edges. We have found the data is still coming in. It's fairly new, but it's definitely an option. We found that the initial bleeding can be a little less significant. Again, you don't have this rubbing of the, until the rechem gets used to the two poking pieces. It can take a few weeks. And the general sense is that maybe the regular cycles aren't as heavy. But again, because you have, this is an important thing to know, because like Revelber mentioned, because you have a foreign object, literally a piece of copper, which Derech Agav, the way this thing works is it creates, the way it's meant to work, how does it prevent pregnancy? It creates a acidic environment. The copper reacts with the natural wetness that's inside the uterus and creates a very acidic reaction which kills Zera. That's 99% of the way it works is through that. And again, you have this acidic reaction, it's almost like fighting it off, so to speak. So every time she gets a period of cycle and all that blood is coming out, you have this foreign object, this copper object that's creating this reaction. It makes the periods much crampier, much heavier, and that doesn't change. And again, there are different ways how to deal with it, and every woman varies. That's in general. Every woman varies in everything. Right. And then that's all regarding copper IUDs. Then there is one other type of IUD called a Mirena, which is a hormonal IUD, which instead of having copper on it, it has progesterone. It has a little bar of progesterone on it, and it releases the progesterone directly into the rechem, into the uterus. And this, first of all, in halacha, zikr, a lot, even if there are paiskim that are mekel, again, everyone has to ask their own shayla, regarding staining on it. But our experience is, and we get calls on a daily basis, mamash, on a daily basis from all over the world of women that inserted the Mirena and stained for 6 to 9 months on it. And the doctors like to give it, and women are enticed to give it because part of their advertisement is that with the Mirena, you will not get your period. You'll get very light periods. And this is true. Slowly but surely, the progesterone in the Mirena will wear down the lining of the uterus until shiitake, after 9 months, a year, shiitake realize that she's not getting a period or she's getting very you know, light staining once a month that can even, you know, not be metame. Again, this is a halacha shayla, but till they get to that menucha v'nachla can be 6 to 9 months of serious agnas nefesh. Many women just can't handle it. They end up taking it out. Again, we have solutions. And in some women, this is the eitzah. You know, some women definitely later in life, in their 40s, premenopause, there is, you know, the Rebbeinu Shlomo created it for a reason. There are cases where a miren is dafka what we would suggest a woman to use. But bederech klal in a young crowd, we might, from miren, there's really no reason to go through that agnas nefesh.
What do you suggest for the young crowd?
I think the first suggestion, it really, which is the rov, that whenever someone feels that there's a need for spacing, they should definitely reach out to the local rov if they live in Israel. They're for sure rabbonim. Even if they live in America, there's in every town the rabbonim familiar with the sugya. And unfortunately, the sugya is not medicine. It's much more emotional well-being. And it's really important to highlight this, and it's not a topic which was so common used 25 years ago. Whoever looks in Reb Moshe's tshuvas, you can see that this sugya of contraception was rarely something that he was matter. Has many, many tshuvas that only Mokum Skona. But at the same time, I can say I am a member in the Women's Health Council in the Masada Briyot, and this is a topic which comes up, nothing to do with Haredim, the whole time, of if it's postpartum depression from one end, if it's other issues of mental health issues and well-being. Same thing as in Lakewood, I was invited to by Yad Rachel, the organization of women's emotional well-being. There's today in every town a different organization that deals with women's emotional well-being. The fact that the Masada Briyot, the system in Israel now is that from since 2015 that the whole mental well-being is inside the Kopat Cholim's and was not before, and it's covered. It's because these topics are, we live in a very stressful society, and it's only going up and up by the WHO. By 2030 they say most visits by doctors will be for emotional issues, not for physical issues. So we're almost there. This is a situation that every single family will have to ask in one stage or another a rov. I think it's important to highlight it's not a busha to ask. It's not a rachmanis, and it's not something which is only for nebuchs. It's made for everyone with a psak of a rov. It's really important from one hand. At the same time, and it's even more important not to take a birth control before they get the right information. And unfortunately, this is a topic that will never be educated in school or even not by the doctors. No way, even in Kopat Cholims, they will cover a lot of things, but this topic, they will not give time, and it's actually illegal from the Kopat Cholim aspect to spend time with the customer, the patient, to explain more than 3.5 minutes on this topic. The 3.5 minutes to explain, there's over 15 different methods in contraception, and which one is really suitable, but the research we have done with the Tareinu Hotline, with Dr. Sinu Shalayim, was the outcome was that in an average, everyone who took the conception was involved with the Rov, Baruch Hashem, but at the same time, everyone was missing information by the time they took the contraception. So it's not the doctor who will educate the people of which method is good for the health, which method is good for the emotional well-being, and as well, obviously, the Tahara issues. So I think the first and most important really thing for this is just to pick up a phone. It's a phone away from Tareinu Hotline. They will definitely start with a few key questions. It will depend on the age. It will depend on the time, how long they need it for. It will depend a lot of the history. Okay, some people, there's in Israel about 45, at the moment 47 different types of pills. If this lady is going to call in from the States, which they have over 165 different pills of contraception, there's a reason why there's so many. And then there's a whole different line of other things. And yes, we have to find, sometimes even the advice will be to start with something, one pill or one other method, and then if it's not working, then you have to switch. Yes, emotional issues is also important to know. So from one hand, people sometimes don't want to use any hormones because they run to the IUD. Hormones is dangerous. It's not dangerous, but you have to know how to use it. If you're going to take a very high dosage of estrogen, the mood swings will be very difficult. If you take a low dosage, it might be easier, but on the other hand, it could cause tire issues. You have to find the right balance. So it's not like we have the code. It's like the one pill from all the 165 pills. This is the pill. Not yet available, this pill. So, but it's that many different things to try to help find. And if not, for the first answer, first phone call, you call back. We try together with the patient to figure out something which should work from every aspect, from tahara, from the health, and from the emotional well-being.
Since we're running, I'm going to jump to the last questions. What does Tyreno Hotline feel? So a few people wanted to know that this is the main problems that they see facing the tumor.
You know, I'll start with the email that I was the only one to get actually printed, Rav Avi. I think this is really enough if we do the whole night for that type of email, because unfortunately this email, Dorov has been shliach together with me to help those type of couples here. This is actually not from the area, so it's okay. It's not from Israel, but I guess someone was maybe already moved back. They were here once in the list, and they got an email yesterday, and they sent it in. But unfortunately, I can say from this area, we had in the last year quite a few, a little bit longer. This is only 2 years married, and we had from 5 years, and we had from 5 years and even longer. So the idea is that this topics, both topics which is mentioned here, are topics which is really, really important to open and to know that Baruch Hashem Achshar Dora, there's definitely things the medical world can help, and it's difficult to get to the specialist, difficult to get to the right decisions, and it's even most difficult to open to someone because of the delicate topics, because of the natural busha, and even to open themselves to a rov or a madrach hasan or a kala teacher, people will not open so quickly, and most times even not to the parents. So they're basically closed down in their own daladamas, and obviously no one has ruach hakodesh, so even if they reach out to some local doctors, they might end up like this one, 3 years after marriage, and so much sorrows, and they don't know even where to start from. So let's start, you know, the two main topics, what I'm going to, two, three topics to call it, is around achieving pregnancy, but it's different different sugyas in this concept of achieving pregnancy. Let's start, Alpia Seder is just after getting married, topic of intimacy. So the topic of intimacy, obviously, without having relations, there's no way to get pregnant. I would open and say, unfortunately, there is ways to get pregnant without having relations, and some people, because of this intimacy dysfunction issues, they go for operations and they do infertility treatments and they have children. But again, this is really a shortcut which was relevant for 25 years ago, and it's really no place today by 99% of the cases. In other words, if we open the topic of intimacy dysfunction, what means intimacy dysfunction? So number one, which is mentioned in this email, is when a woman can experience terrible pain. Not only discomfort, but rather terrible pain. So pain can be right after the chasen, and it can also sometimes be developed a little bit later, but in general, it will be from the beginning. So this pain, and she's actually just now, after the 2 years, diagnosed in America with something called vulvodynia, but whatever the names are, and without going into different codes, just to get an idea, because this is really what the most important is, that most kala teachers, most and most rabbonim, and most basically people, besides yichidus gila, don't know what this code means. Even if they will know symptoms on it, they will not know how to treat it. So she can go to Hadassah and to Shaar Tzedek, and most doctors in Kopat Chalims for 3 years, and we had his cases, and they were ending up to be sent to psychologist, therapist, physical therapy, spend sometimes a lot of money, for sure a lot of time, and sometimes it's zero outcome. So this is a specialty today in medicine. Yes, in New York, obviously, there is the place where the Israeli doctors who are going, the ones who are specialized today, in this topic went themselves to really specialize in it. But even in New York, we had just in the last, I would say in the last 3 months, we have more than four couples, including from a few from Brooklyn, that they were, someone that was 9 years after marriage, someone is actually just 2 years after marriage, the same issues running around all over the city, different doctors, different organizations, and the same the same description as in this paper, in this email, no one really helped by the bottom line. We tried this, tried that, a bit up and not down, still the pain is there. So the first idea is that this is not to go to just any like college teacher or specialist. The same topic of men dysfunction, sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's psychological issues, and sometimes it's medication, but many times it's a combination of different things, which definitely, I have to say, this topic is still it's a meitz mitzvah. There's no one place in the world who brings together all the information, and therefore, there's definitely in every kehillah people who suffer in silence, and sometimes, as I mentioned before, nobody will ever know because they have kids through different ways. They've never dealt with this issue. And obviously this is the Shulam Bayis, this is the whole tachlis of the chasana, to live together and not to be an aguna, right? So this is really the good news today, that Baruch Hashem, there is definitely solutions today, but for everyone. Yes, just as a keynote, I know it's very late, but there's one topic called the muscles, one topic called the nerves. This is really the two big issues. If it's a topic on the muscles, it's one way of treatment. And if it's a problem with the nerves over there, different types of treatments. And the actual diagnosing this is the most difficult thing. But it's definitely doctors who can diagnose that. Definitely doctors who can also afterwards offer different treatments. Yes, if you're asking what's like one of the most important things in the hotline, I think this was actually the things came over, not in the beginning of when we opened the hotline 4 years ago, but people called in just because there's no any other address. So we were forced basically to bring in specialists and to train them in this field, at least to know and very basics and everything, but definitely to give solutions and to guide them and to help them with this. The next topic, which is on the way to achieve pregnancy, unfortunate in other sugya, which is not yet really common for most doctors. And it's the topic of miscarriages. A lot of people having miscarriages. In fact, the statistic, everyone who has six kids had one miscarriage in between, at least one. This is the statistic. But in our community, unfortunately, we can see so many couples who had, or in the beginning, the difficulty to get the first child because they were actually experiencing five, and unfortunately, sometimes six, and 11 and 14. And we had actually someone in Yerushalayim last year made a simcha after 14 years of miscarriages, being around in New York. Both of them, they're both from Brooklyn and they live here, and they were by all top doctors in Brooklyn. They were obviously in Israel in this 14 years. But Baruch Hashem, they were helped and they made a simcha last year. This is really maybe 14 years is a lot, but for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and 6 years of miscarriages, one every year, whenever they try, this is so common. I think the Rav is really involved. There's a lot of cases with this issue, and again, the good news, and I think this is basically the message of tonight, that medicine is really advanced. It's not only in the telephone line, it's actually in medicine, first of all. So the technology is there. Information and research is there, medications are there, treatments. Yes, there's always going to be dilemmas when to go for this operation, when to use this medication, and every doctor will say something else. Not only every person who will look on Google will see different 500 things, but every doctor will have different opinions in the same hospital and sometimes in the same unit. So it is difficult to make decisions. I think the most important is always, especially in this topics, to reach out to the local rabbanim, and most of them have some connections. Obviously, we offer also today a lot of knowledge in this field. There's definitely, I think in Israel, specifically in the field of miscarriages, at the moment, the textbooks on this topic is from Israel. So the Torah on this topic is really here in Israel. You don't have to run out. You know, a lot of couples who reached out to New York before they even tried here. It comes from here. They will send you back here in Israel. So textbooks on this topic, because it's so relevant in the Haredi community, more than in any other community of miscarriages, because if it's relevant after 2-3 kids, it's not relevant by any other community, only by Orthodox people. So that's why, yes, here in Israel, at the moment, there's most research in the world on this topic is done in Israel, and the medications and other things. So there's definitely, we can, Baruch Hashem, help people with this one. And to finish up with maybe the biggest topic which takes away my time in the last few years, most of my time, say 80% of my time, and I think from David Bartfeld as well, is the classic infertility. So yes, it's definitely something which is relevant for every kehillah and every place. Sometimes the first time is difficult, sometimes it's secondary infertility. When it's, again, it goes back to your question, when is it considered secondary infertility? When is someone to start to worry? If they had 2 kids and now they're trying for 2 years, when should they look out to do something? That's actually also something they can call in. We can go through to this to check the basic level. But the most important thing really to know, if someone tries to achieve pregnancy, instead of just reaching out to doctors, I think to explain it in a simple way will be that, as you know, in food, there's endless of types of taste and of recipes, the same as in medicine. This field, infertility especially, is changing by the months. So you'll have methods which is available already for 60 years and still goes on today. For some people, that's actually the best for them to do. But you have methods which is just available for 2 years or less. And for some people, that's the right thing to start with. That will be much cheaper or sometimes much more effective and many times much better halacha-wise. So yes, there were a lot of issues which was dealt in the Peskim last generations from Hilchas Pesuah Daka to Hilchas Siras Noshim. Many very difficult cases. And I'm not even mentioning the famous big shilas in Reb Moshe and Reb Zalman Auerbach of all different shilas and fertility of third parties and so on, which is Baruch Hashem today less than 1% b'chlal shaila for Rabbanan. Because there's solutions of pi halucha to 99.5%. So it's definitely major advancements in this one, but it is absolutely so complicated. And someone to try just from Google to navigate, forget about it from Kupat Chalim or from the local doctors without knowing really, because sometimes in my time, sometimes Dafki in Shlaim, sometimes in this hospital, not everything is in Hadassah, does not make PGS. Shaar Tzedek is the one who makes PGS. Varicocel, for example, is done in Shaar Tzedek, not in Hadassah. So some people will say, well, 1 second, Hadassah, the biggest hospital in the Middle East, they must have the biggest infertility unit. In fact, in the levels, their professors are the ones who wrote most articles from Israel in infertility. So definitely over there. When you look in different things, which is not actually existing over there, if you go in the male infertility and someone have difficulties with sperm, there's no, doesn't exist yet in Yerushalayim, half of the options, which is al pi halucha, much better to start with before you go do b'chlal operation. So yes, it will be in the future. Different Kupat Chalim are at the moment of planning. Maybe some of them signed already agreements with different labs and different things. Not yet here. So instead of starting the process alone, we created this, what the Rav mentioned before. We call it the Zareinu project, which is not really for the hotline to deal, much more to do to help the couples one-on-one. Usually, if they're living in Yerushalayim, we'll have them come over to the office here in Har Chotzvim, sit down, really open every aspect, go through the options, go back to the Rabbanim, take the options to the Rabbanim. It's always going to be Shalas and Halacha. Yes, also in Ashkofa, because every stage here is involved with so many different aspects and the infertility. But I would say even the very basic infertility of just irregular cycles, just missing ovulation that was mentioned before, sometimes can be dealt with the proper doctor. There's, for example, one medication came from Canada last 12 years. Most doctors do not want to accept it yet. We're dealing with a couple here in Yerushalayim, English speaker. They were 5 months by a good doctor. She's also in Hadassah, she's also in Kupat Cholim, and they, in fact, had terrible issues with Tahara, which obviously was also an issue for infertility. They tried to deal with both of them, gave them medication, a very common medication available for so many years. not effective enough. So what we had to do is basically to switch to a different doctor, because this doctor we know is not giving the other medication. The other doctor will give the other medication. You know, we know this, most of the doctors, in fact, we know both of the doctors. Sometimes we'll pick up a phone instead of switching doctors, but a lot of times we can just switch in the same Kupat Cholim for the same price. And this is actually one of the good things with the last reform that Rabbi Litzman did in the system, the medical system in Israel, that you can get, in fact, today, the head of the unit in Hadassah and Shaar HaTzedek for the same price. You can get the next doctor in Kupat Cholim for 250 shekels. You can get the top doctor, who used to be for 1,200 shekels. You have it today for 250 shekels. The rest is covered. And if you have the high level, obviously, and maybe even to finish up, one of the most important things medically for any issue, as long as you live in Israel, is to upgrade the Kupat Cholims for the highest level, especially till you don't have the children, because infertility treatments will make a big difference if you have a high level or not, if you can choose private doctors or just to go with the Kupat Cholim. And more important will be to make sure you do Bituach Lumi when you can, not to wait, because if the Kupat Cholim will realize you did Bituach Lumi only, or you upgraded your Kupat Cholim to the high level only when you were by the first visit for a infertility reason, they will block you afterwards, even if it will pass the 6 months. They have to. They lately got very tough with this, even Mukhadad. They're quite careful not to sponsor things if it was done on purpose to get sponsorship. So the first thing is, why not to do Bituach Lumi? Most people can do it. And, you know, especially that's anyway the legal way to live with. And the second level, at least till after children, to make the high Kupat Cholim level, whatever Kupat Cholim you have, to go the highest, so you'll have much more coverage, much more options to do whatever you need to do later, so you can deal with this much more properly.
He's just upgrading to Buffalo, even if you have a bunch of kids ready.
Yes, I have it, and I think it's worth it.
It's worth it.